You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has almost closed its doors for another day, so it's a Tuesday, so it's time for the double-header Dream Team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow. And I have to start with you, Nick Kunzer. Nick Kunzer is from Sun and Private Wealth. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities. I'm looking at my screen now, and the S&P having rallied last night quite substantially from its lows. You know, I like these sort of reversal patterns, but they don't work anymore. Nick, the reversal pattern has completely gone out the window because of algos and Robin Hoods and things like that. The S&P now, as we speak at nearly 5 o'clock in South Africa, is 1.7% weaker. And I don't know, it's a very much a sell the rallies market at the moment in my small mind.
Yeah, it is. Evening, gents. It's very much a risk ahead of us, although it was a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday out the blocks this morning, as you pointed out, Lindsay, in the last couple of hours, that that tail of the tape has deteriorated, especially in the US, ahead of what is quite a monster week for earnings. I mean, after the closing bell tonight, we have earnings from Microsoft and Google, the two giants of earnings side. We also have Apple, Amazon, and Facebook owner Meta. They're also posting earnings later this week. So I worked it out. It's something like half the market cap, the S&P 500, the next 3 days. So it is quite a big one to concentrate on. And the market is looking for guidance from them, because if you cast your mind back a week or so from the horror show that was Netflix, a little bit of disappointing inflation numbers too, and the market has been on the back foot. So market looking for something positive, but it looks like they are certainly voting with their feet, because it's a little bit of a disappointing feel about it ahead of it. Maybe it's setting up for a surprise upside.
Okay, I'll stay with you very quickly. David, to shunt you aside.
Okay.
Why is S&P down 1.75%, Nick, today, at this very moment?
I actually don't know. I mean, there is obviously people are looking at this rampant dollar. This dollar just on an absolute charge. I mean, look at it against sterling again today. Look at it against the euro again. The U.S. Treasury note, you know, still sitting stubbornly 2.75%. The two-year note also 2.54%. So there is certainly a feeling of that. And also, I think people, also Americans, woke up a couple of hours ago digesting the news that the Chinese are still stubbornly trying to introduce this zero COVID policy, which is not going to work with something as infectious as Omicron. In fact, I've seen pictures of them putting fences up in sky-rise buildings, literally locking people into those skyscrapers with fences, with padlocks on. You cannot leave, trying to keep a zero policy. And it's not working. It's just not working. So that's also obviously the manufacturing hub of the world and the second biggest economy also doesn't help. So, you know, I'd look at those sort of scenarios, which is why there's definitely sort of a risk off feel, which despite would look quite good this morning, it's reversed quite quickly.
Yes. David, what do you think now? Because you're very much the man for the future. You're a tech man. You're a Netflix man. Yeah. You're a streaming person. You're a Microsoft man. All those sort of things. But there's a little bit of a wobble, isn't there?
It's messy. You know, messy means just there doesn't seem to be anything that's drawing people in. And we can't read it. I was just to digress, but it's relevant. I'm looking at the U.S. Bond market, and we've had a massive buying, money flowing in because yields are falling. You've got the 10-year, which was threatening to go up to 3% and threatening to go up, you know, to 3.5% where it might kind of settle, is now back at 2.7, down 9 points. I mean, that's a massive move in a day. Everything's down 9.5 points.
It's a safe haven play. That's what it is. It's safe haven. It doesn't matter whether they think inflation's going up. They're just saying, I need somewhere safe. So it's 2.73%, as you quite rightly say.
Yeah, but you're only going to play safe if you feel that it's peaking. You're not going to go safe if you don't feel it's peaking. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to put it in if you think this is going to go up to 3, 3.5,
I disagree with you in the sense, okay. And I'm sorry to interrupt, I disagree with you in that if something is a safe haven, then you put your money in there. It's like people, and as Nick will attest to, he will say, you put your money in the German Bund, even though that you have to pay the Deutsche Bank or the German bank to keep your money. It's a safe haven. It's nothing to do with the return you're going to get. You just say, please keep me insulated from what's going on elsewhere. David, over to you again.
I don't think they do it at this stage. If you're going to go safe haven, you'll go for 2 year or you'll go for zero, you know, just all cash. If you're going for your 30 year and the 30 year is down 9 points or 10 points, that's a big, big move. So you don't want to risk it going the other way. So I don't know why suddenly, you know, why the money is flowing in at the moment. And the fact that the dollar's gone strong shows you or reinforces exactly what we're saying. It is safe haven, but there must be a belief that, okay, these are decent levels at which to come in. You know what I mean? This is decent levels. So, and there is certainly a move out of equities on the fear that I don't know what the fear is, that perhaps we're going into stagflation or whatever the issue is. I can't, you know, it doesn't make sense because, and Nick, this is what bothers me, is that when we woke up yesterday, we had a bad day. But towards the end of trade yesterday in the U.S., the market shut up, maybe on the Twitter story or whatever it is. You wake up this morning, you're feeling quite good because the futures are pointing upwards. The market opens great. The market's steady at the open. And within a half an hour, the trapdoor opens. And suddenly everybody's running out. He said, hold on a sec. You know,
it's very difficult for investors and money managers like us even to look at this on a day-to-day basis because there's so many moving parts.
Yeah.
But you'd have to say if you did take a step back and look at where things are, there are definitely things to be concerned about. The inflation is a massive concern. It is stickier than the central banks and the governments ever envisaged. And we are heading into a tightening phase from central banks around the world, and liquidity has been withdrawn out the markets. And we are having to put the brakes on all of the above. Add into the fact that, you know, for those who had a diversified portfolio, you know, if you had a 30, 40% in bonds and 60% in equities, you've had a tough couple of weeks because everything's sold off. Commodities are sold off. Equities are sold. There's diversification whatsoever. So, all of a sudden, I think there's a lot of risks to consider for investors. Mm. And I think, you know, for the last better part of 10 years, you've probably done reasonably well if you've been in the market. Mm. And I think we're getting to that point now. And need I say it to both you guys, I mean, sell in May. We're not that far away, are we? I mean, a week's time, we're
in the infamous
monthly period where things are nervous. Mm. And the VIX is trading at 31%. So I do think there is risk ahead of us. And I think that's why you're getting real nerves. And I think it's very important personally. I want to put my sort of head on a block here. I think it's very important that these big tech US earnings that are out in the next 3-4 days, they do need to come in and be, you know, at least a bit of a beat. Otherwise, this market, I think, is going to continue to grind lower.
I think you're right. I think if they don't beat.
Yeah, then I think it's risk off.
They'll stabilize the market.
Agreed.
I was saying that to Lindsay yesterday. I think they'll just give some kind of underpin. Okay, they're doing okay, whatever it is. But I think if they miss, boy, then as we say in the, you know, Jewish, we say Yiskadol v'Yiskadash. That is the death prayer. That's Kaddish.
Say that again, please. Yiskadol v'Yiskadash. What did you say?
Yeah. The way he says it makes me nervous. Just mentioning it.
That's the death prayer.
No, please say it again, David, because it's lovely. It's actually quite lyrical. Please say it again.
It's Kaddish. It's you always say Kaddish
it,
for the dead. Yeah, so it's Yiskadol v'Yiskadash Meirava.
Yiskadash. Okay. Oh, goodness me. That's cursed.
That's what you say.
That's cursed the market forever for you and I Gentiles, Nick.
Exactly. But, you know, guys, even if we had to put a whiteboard up, if we have three of us around a boardroom table right now, and you have to put a whiteboard up, and you have to say, what are the pros, what are the cons, what are the positive, what are the negatives?
Cons.
What's the risk on, risk off? You'd have to say the one side of that column with the risk, the speed bumps ahead of us for investing is starting to look quite full at the moment. And let's be honest, I mean, a rising interest rate environment, rising bond yields, rising inflation, central banks withdrawing stimulus. Those are all historically negative for risk assets. And there's going to be pockets of strength. We've seen in South Africa some little companies that have done really well that are operating well in this environment. But in general, risk assets should not be in favor in this current environment.
What's the positive thing is that, as you say, everything is negative. There is no good news. There's nothing. There's nothing to draw you in. And that's always a good sign because it means...
No, it is a good sign. You're right. It is. You're right.
Oh,
yeah.
No, but wait a second. It may not be a...
Wait. No, hold on.
Okay, go on.
Your puts are at record... And Nick's going to have to check this up for me because I only heard the headline.
VIX. Okay, here we go.
No,
it's called your put call parity. So it's the amount of put buyers relative to...
So in other words, the options to, you know, your put options are at the highest level since March 2020.
Correct.
I need that to be authenticated. I'm making a statement that Nick's going to have to support or not.
It's like the Antiques Roadshow. This is fantastic. Yeah, well,
that's only because I'm quoting what I heard. And when I heard it, I said, okay, well, that's a great sign. It means that everybody is, you know, it's unanimous bearishness and that, which is always a good sign because anybody wants to be out is actually getting out. And that's a sign. But I haven't seen the signs to get me enthusiastic and say, okay, it's going
to
turn.
David, but, I have to say to you, if the market was down 20-25% and you came up with your Antiques Roadshow authentication story, then I would say, yes, absolutely fine. But the market is just within a whisker of all-time record highs. Okay, the S&P is at 4,200, let's call it, and it was 4,700, but it's only 500 points away from its all-time record high. If the market had collapsed and everyone was saying, well, I'm so bearish, there is still more to go.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go, but do you see what I mean? There is still lot of wiggle room for this thing to go a little bit lower.
That's why the results are very important.
Look, if you were just to reiterate what David's saying, if you had to be a contrarian investor, and I happen to be one of those, when people do rush in and buy puts like they're doing now, and David's correct, there's a large volume of what they call put buyers, people buying downside protection relative to the calls, that usually is quite a let's just say it's a fairly historically accurate sign that the bottom has been reached for now. And normally that means you get a short-term bounce, the long-term. But it doesn't change the overall trend, whether it be up or down. It just says for now, in the near term, there seems to be overly bearish tone to the market, which ironically, as David says and alludes to, that is actually quite bullish.
David, you look at charts. I mean, you're a fundamentalist and you're a long-term investor, but you do look at charts because it's a great way to – it's almost like, as I often say, it's a sort of anthropological history of the markets. And you say, well, this is what happened before and this is what is happening now. I've just pulled up this fossil. I've dug up this financial market fossil and I'm looking at it. And that means that in the past, this thing happened. I'm not explaining myself very well, but you know what I mean? When you look at the graphs, they look horrible to me. They look absolutely awful. The RSI, the non-confirmation of rallies, it just looks terrible to me. What do you think? Because you and I are both amateur chartists.
You know, it hasn't completely broken. It's not completely destroyed. Even the NASDAQ is showing some kind of decent signs. But I think the pace at which we're seeing the fall now is a bit concerning. If it was bouncing around, losing a percent or half a percent, making a percent, falling a percent. But I think now, as we talk now, I look at the NASDAQ down 3%. I'm saying, hold on a sec. You know, where's this coming from? You know, those are the kind of moves I don't like. I don't like, you know, these big moves. Those are the ones that worry me. Not the small moves, you know, not the small moves up and down and that. But when you suddenly get what we spoke about, you know, you're starting to feel good in the morning and then suddenly they come and crack it. You say, hold on a sec, you know, someone's playing around with us. Nick, read it against – no, what I'm trying to say is I'm reading it against this massive move into bonds as well. So you can see where the rotation's coming. I'm saying, okay, why are they rotating? Do they have to do that to me before a holiday? I want to enjoy tomorrow, you know.
No, it's not only that. Do we have to get these 2,000 point sell offs 3 days before the statements guide?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, come on, give me a break. No, but I mean, but we don't. But I mean, if, you know, for someone like us who have been in the markets for a long time, you'd have to say sometimes you do get a feel for things. And I'd have to say the market feels heavy. It feels heavy. Every time it tries to get going, it can't and it falls on a heap. So you get this like one and a half, you get this sort of 0.5% to 1% grind up. And then in the space of 2 hours, it drops 2%. That's not a good feel about it.
You know, so it's one step forward, sort of two steps back. Is that what you're saying?
It's heavy. The market's very heavy. They're selling the rallies, as you said, right in your intro.
42.15 for the S&P futures on my slightly delayed screen, but 1.8% weaker. And that, to me, as someone who looks at the technicals occasionally, I would be on the streets with a cardboard box saying, you know, elderly gentleman with two children to support, please give me some money, because I would have bought the market today because of the reversal last night. Nick, you will attest that. But look at it, it's now nearly down 2% as we speak. It's just ticking lower. Nick, do you, when you have your Sun and Private Wealth meetings in the morning, do you say, right, fundamentals, this is what's happened in China and last night in the United States, these are the charts. Do you talk about technicals at all?
No, we don't, because the majority of our clients whose money we manage are long-term investors. So, but I mean, notwithstanding the fact, I mean, we do look at technicals. You know, I certainly bring a sort of a more of a short-term view to the conversation. I host the meetings every morning, and the few things I look at every single morning is the VIX, what iron ore did, what the Chinese markets did, what the Chinese tech index did, and they do set the tone for the day, definitely. And that's how you saw this morning. I mean, you saw it was quite a nice bounce back in China. Chinese tech were very strong on the open after the comments the Chinese government gave to the Financial Times. And that did set the tone for us this morning. But as you said, it rolled over in the last couple of hours. But you do have to look at technicals. And if you have to look at technicals, guys, you'd have to say that this S&P 500 is battling to make new highs. It's really battling. It's making lower lows and lower highs, which is a bearish signal.
It really is.
Chart is out there.
Okay, what happened, David, on the individual stocks fronts on the JSE Securities Exchange? I think we had a trading update from Netcare, voluntary trading update. Share price early on ratted a bit, but obviously not now. South32 came out with a quarterly report, Renogen, etc. David, the JSE day, anything of interest to you?
Hardly at all. We ended positive. So we were still taking a lead from what happened late last night in New York and also from the comments that Nick made about China. So some of the equities rallied, but towards the end, I think as we got to the opening of Wall Street, we saw the fall, we lost a lot of ground. We were up, I think early in this morning around, could have been 1.5, almost 2%. We ended up 0.75%, but there weren't any major movers today, you know, things like, you know, when I say it sounds like a big move, but you've got telecom up about 5% and transaction capital up 4.5%. But these are companies, Lindsay, what we're seeing is movement in both directions. You know, you see a company make up 5% one day, the next day it gives back 5%. So I haven't seen any consistently good kind of moves in the market. There's still a lot more gainers than losers today on our market. But again, I think that's really, you know, old news after what we're seeing in on Wall Street today. And we're going to be closed tomorrow. So when we come back Thursday, it could be an interesting day.
Well, it could be very interesting because I don't quite understand why the JSE is up by 0.75%, whatever it is. Because I would be very nervous if I was long of the market and if I was a punter because of the day off tomorrow. Obviously, you can hedge your bets. But Nick, any stocks that you liked or disliked today, or is it an international story? Is it completely international?
I think it is very much driven what's happening offshore. It's very little happening locally that is moving this market. Although saying that, we're still bearing the brunt of a quite aggressive sell-off in iron ore over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, Kumba down 32-33% in 10 days.
Gosh.
And it's not a small cap. You know, that's a big share taking a huge loss in value. But you know, the wild swings for me are quite difficult to get my head around. I'm just looking at a headline now. I mean, palladium is over 5% up. It was down 10% yesterday. So between yesterday and today, down 10% yesterday, up 5% today, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed the palladium market whatsoever. The only thing I would say is palladium is lower than it was before Russia invaded Ukraine, which makes no sense. Mm. But I think that, you know, that is these wild, wild swings that we're having at the moment. But nothing really stood out, guys, honestly, except for these commodities continue to be under pressure. And I think you talk about guidance from offshore. I think we're taking majority of our direction what the dollar does. I mean, this dollar has been on an absolute tear, and I think it's crushing everything in its path. Every time I look up, it's another headline about, you know, the Aussie dollar's at a 5-year low against the US dollar, euro, the pound. So this dollar, I think, is dominating all the conversation.
Which makes the rand even more impressive. Okay, the rand is under pressure because of the strength of the US dollar, and it's suddenly showing some cracks in its resilience. But on the other hand, yeah, it's doing well. Iron ore, looking at it now, 136.50 for iron ore, Nick, down 6.2%. Mm. I mean, the sell-off in the resources over the last couple of days, David, Nick, both of you, was that just because of the China story? And there was a 5.1% fall on the Shanghai index, and because of the rather bearish outlook for the Chinese economy. Is that it's almost like the start of something? Because if you look at a graph and then this sudden fall, it's not going to bounce back from that. What do you think, David? You're murmuring in the background, so maybe start with you. Is this the end of something?
It was dual. China's always a big influence on the commodity markets. But the biggest influence recently was the Ukraine war, which started, which was driven up by oil. And oil we had at 120, heading towards 130. We're now settling around 100. So that seems to be out the
– you mentioned oil. It's almost back news now.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's exactly. Look, I think this is where, if you go pre-pandemic, you know, this is kind of around where we were or not far up from that. Mm. And then you've got, the disappointment comes in that you've got platinum just on 900, you know, and this is supposed to be the smart metal. Palladium, which was 50 back at 21, 22. I don't know where it is today. I saw it at 21, and everything's come back. So you're also saying, hold on a sec, where's this war? What was supposed to happen? Whether traders are offloading what they might have been very bullish positions, I don't know. But a lot of the premiums that we saw that came out of the war have kind of reversed in many of the areas, of the market. And we don't even talk about the war anymore.
No, we don't.
It's now inflation. It's now a whole lot of things. It's China. It's lockdown. It's and so on. No, yeah. Sure, it's important.
I think it's over the top the way that they closed down a city of 20 million people because there's been 19 new deaths. I mean, these are statistics that are obviously manipulated. But on the other hand, another thing I need to ask both of you about is what is the potential influence of Twitter leaving the market, becoming a private company and leaving the market? Is that also a negative influence in a time where the market is sort of leaning towards negativity? And Nick, maybe you on this one.
No, I just think from a political point of view, it's probably got the Democrats cowering in the corner and the Republicans are happy. Maybe Donald Trump comes back. On Twitter, but
no, please don't say that.
I saw that. I know. I'm just making light of it.
Please don't say that.
But no. Look, it was an extraordinary deal. I mean, if you actually had to look at when he first started debating this, I mean, this was like in less than 2 weeks, he's gone from sort of mulling over buying it to actually taking it. It's done. Deal. I mean, it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it's all over.
And it's leveraged. It's probably one of the biggest leveraged buyers. It's not done with his cash. So I don't know. I don't know quite what it means for the markets. I don't know. I think this is a bit of an isolated event. I mean, it's fascinating for us to read it and watch it, but I think it's a bit of a one-off. I can't think you put it in the bigger picture of M&A activity in the marketplace at all. I think it's just it's a bored richest man in the world, and he feels like buying the town hall mouthpiece personally, and he's done it. But what it means for overall, I think it's
Goldman,
quite isolated.
I think it's JP Morgan, Goldman. They make a few bob out of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for putting this thing together. But Nick, I was never a. I used Twitter a lot. and I enjoy it, but I was never going to invest in it.
No, we didn't own it either. Look at that, monetize. It's never made money. So, I mean, that's the next big trick is, you know, how do they monetize it? I don't know. I have no idea. Put adverts on. Who knows?
Okay. Well, on that note, let's have a look at the spot prices, which are all over the place. I've got the dollar rand, and you can correct me on this one because of my delayed screen. But anyway, I've got the dollar rand at 1580, the British pound against the rand, 1996, the euro rand at 1685, the euro dollar. Oh, my goodness me. I mean, what is this? 106.55, 1.4% in the last 24 hours. The dollar is rampant, nearly 1.5% better over the last 24 hours. British pound against the cable, as Nick would call it, is 126.25. Gold price, well, strangely enough, has actually rallied back above 1900 despite the rampant dollar. Safe haven buying again, along with the US bonds, which I'll come to in a moment. 1903, the gold price, but it's still down 20 in the last 24 hours. The platinum price is down 16 to 906, and palladium has rallied perversely, nearly $30 an ounce to 2,221. Now let's have a look at the crude oil price. And I always have to refresh my screen because it changes by 10 cents every second these days. The Brent crude oil price is up 2% to $104.40. The West Texas crude has changed its big figure from two figures to three figures. It's $100.60 per barrel, which is a 2.1% fall. Natural gas is up 4.2%. That's significant, to 6.95. Bitcoin, do we care? Well, some people do. So it's 39,109, just barely changed on the day. So that's it. And S&P futures, yeah, they're holding their own. They're only down 1.8%. Okay, Nick, any movers on
this? You know, there's one.
Go on.
Just out of interest, I had to look up the euro at 107, where we 106, is back to levels of March 2020. We're back to those levels where, you know, everybody went for the dollar, whatever it is, was the safe haven. Headway, well, we went all the way back to 126 and now all the way 107.
Well, that's what I've been saying to
you. Sorry, the lowest I've got, Nick, is 104, which was in January 2017. I can't remember the circumstances. They've kind of hovered around there for 15, 16, and 17. But this is seriously low for the euro. You know, this is new ground.
And we know why, of course. Is this euro? I suppose, Nick, that this is David. This is euro weakness rather than dollar strength, or is it actually the perfect storm? It's a bit of both.
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I've been trying to chat to clients about the weakness in the rand, and I've been saying it's not just about the rand. The last week or two, it's about Look at sterling. Sterling's been absolutely killed.
127.
They came out with shocking retail numbers yesterday, just showing you how much inflation is actually starting to put the consumer under pressure. And of course, that's not sterling. But yeah, this dollar's a big concern, huge concern, and I don't think it's stopped yet.
I keep on hearing people saying, well, the US dollar is now almost like a defunct currency as a global store of value, and the renminbi is going to be doing this.
But you can't write this.
Exactly. I don't believe that, do you? No, you don't believe it, Nick.
Not a chance. It's a reserve currency of the world. It's commodities, everything else, everything's denominated. The biggest commodities in the world are denominated in dollars. Oil's denominated. There's been a push for decades about looking at the Chinese yuan the euro's out of whack now completely with what's happening in the Ukraine. The yuan's never going to happen given what their policies are doing at the moment, and they're trying to crucify their own country by locking the entire place down. So, I mean, the dollar's going to continue. It just keeps coming back. The dollar is still the dominant currency of the world.
Yes, it certainly is. Let's have a look now at the JSE today, because unfortunately we are being manipulated by the international market machinations. But I'm going to give you the top five and the bottom five on my screen. Telkom, for some extraordinary reason, up 5%. Transaction Capital up 4.6%. Coronation Fund Managers, despite the fact it's been a weekday, up 4.2%. MTN is a 4% winner. Well done to you, Nick. Pepcor, up 3.2%.
No, I'm here, guys.
Jolly good. Bytes on the downside by 6.3%. Cup down 3%. Kumba Iron Ore down another 2.8%. That's because of the 6% fall on the iron ore price. Northern Platinum down 2.5% and South 32 down 2.5% as well. David Shapiro, anything on your screen?
No, we've seen what was, what's it, RFG, Rhodes Food, I see down 7% just to add to yours. Tongaat continues to lose ground. It's going back towards that 400 million market cap level. Bytes is something that I've been watching.
Yes,
you know, this is a company that's given away a lot. I mean, it was a listing out of Altron that went onto the UK market, but it's been very, very weak for whatever reason. So yeah, but you know, most of the companies we're quoting at the moment are up and down on a daily basis, and you know, all over the place. Movements today are, you don't see a 1% movement. If a company is going to move on the down, it's 5% down. If it's going to move on the up, it's 5. So we got very used and blasé about these kind of moves. But nothing really stood out. Hulamin up 9% for whatever. But, you know, if in the small caps or in the lower caps, just a few shares can push the share up in 5-10%. But there's no trends. What I'm getting at
There's a trend that's down.
You're not seeing – yeah, the – trend is all over the place. I think the JSE is also in for a bout of profit taking soon. You know, we've had a very good run, particularly in the smaller medium cap industrials, and I think they're going to start to just kind of ease back a bit off these high levels, off these lofty levels.
Nick, give us the closing JSE indices, please, and the Wall Street, the live Wall Street, and also the trading volume on the JSE, the numbers, please.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, as you guys all pointed out, we did finish in the green, which is a bit bucking the trend, what we're seeing globally. And I'll take it, though. It's over 70,000. 70,264. That's your JSE All Share closing up 0.74% on the day. Top 40 companies index up 0.7% as well. 63,336. So back above also the big number of 63,000. Led higher by mostly, actually. Utilities up 1.25%. Energy up 1.13%. Industrials up 0.92%. 2% better. Financials had a good day today, 0.71% firmer. Tech as well, after lead from this morning, continuing that 0.59% firmer. Value trader, before we move on to offshore markets, value trader today, not as much as yesterday. Yesterday we squeezed out 30 billion. Today, not bad, 21.39, but I would say it's average of the last few days. And then offshore markets this morning, I mean, as we know in the US morning, it is exactly on the lows of the session. We have the S&P 500 at 1.86% down, 42.13, that's your front run future. We have the NASDAQ currently sitting down, it's heavy, down 3%, get those big tech earnings off the bell tonight. And Dow Jones down 1.43%, but it's setting up for a bit of a weak US close unless we see a turnaround like we did yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Okay, gentlemen, it's a holiday tomorrow, and you probably I'm here on Thursday. Will both of you be around on Thursday after the midweek holiday, or what?
Yeah, of course.
So I won't be
here. David says, of course, and Nick won't be looking.
I won't be here because I'm going down to see my in-laws because it is Bodhi's first birthday on Friday.
Lovely.
Believe it, eh?
Is it been a year already? Yeah. Fantastic.
It's been a year on Friday. Can you believe
wonderful.
It?
Look at that. Very good.
Okay. Yeah, so there we go. Okay. So I'll catch up with you guys next week on Tuesday.
Jolly good. Have a lovely long weekend, Nick. And David, I'll speak to you on Thursday. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, okay. Doubleheader Dream Team edition. Nick Kunze from Sandham Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.